Alien monsters and final exams await this week as we go back to night school to experience yet another small budget Japanese kaiju film. Will this movie get straight A's from us, or is this extracurricular kaiju not getting the passing grade? Find out along with us as we enroll in Kaiju versus History, Attack of the Giant Teacher.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your middle-aged, late-night school teacher, Miles. And joining me is an alien fiend ready for a quick bite, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week?
Hello. I'm doing very well. You know, what's so funny is as we're recording this film about a school putting on like a school play, I just came from a K through five like talent show at my wife's school, and man, those kids were really talented.
That's funny.
Maybe not so much the characters in this movie, but yeah,
well, we do have some pretty talented people in this movie.
Oh yes,
specifically one. Sure. I think you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yes, there's some talent on display, but yeah, I'm excited about this film. It's one that I did not.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Who are you talking about? Why don't you just drop that knowledge?
Oh, I'm talking about, of course, Miyuki Takase.
Right, and they play one of the students, right?
Yes. Plays the, I think it's the student who is constantly trying to sell things. But Miyuki Takase is a Japanese professional wrestler.
Oh boy, Miles.
I mean, come on, you had to know if I'm being like, oh, you know who this is, right? Because I know you've gotten into professional wrestling in the past year. Mm-hmm. Mostly works with like a PWW or Pure J and Joshi Wrestling and stuff. I don't think has done a lot of stuff with, you know, the ones that we would be more familiar with, like Stardom or New Japan, but has certainly been a big presence in the wrestling world and is currently in Pure J, which is a really fun promotion and has had a lot of great talent come from it. But as soon as I saw her the entire time, I'm like, she looks so familiar. Why does she look so familiar to me? And it's like, oh, that's why.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned wrestler because I had never heard of this movie before we started the podcast, obviously. And when I was putting the list together, I kind of got it confused with Kaiju Mono because they both have like mostly
there is
naked.
There is certainly a vibe for sure.
Human men as kind of like the protagonists in them. But yeah, they're very different movies and different characters. Obviously, the giant teacher at the end of this one, different from professional wrestlers.
Well, which was like, maybe she could have given him some pointers for that non-fight. So this comes out in 2019. Patrick, I don't think this got a theatrical release here. Was it a theatrical release in Japan or was it a streaming direct-to-video situation?
I believe this did get a premiere at 2019's G-Fest. A lot of these smaller...
You are right. I forgot about that.
...budget films, you know, are... you know, labors of love, and they are for specifically the audience that is looking for new kaiju films. So this played in festivals in Japan, but also the July of 2019 was at G-Fest in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, it is. Yeah, a film that I was excited to get to because I didn't know much about it. Are you ready to talk about Attack of the Giant Teacher?
Well, first we got to talk about what's in the title.
I mean, it is a pretty classic title, Attack of the Blank, Attack of the, you know, Colossal Man or those kind of movies. So it is in that title milieu. In Japanese, the original title is Ataku Obo za Gianto Ticha. which is funny. Ticha is, mm-hmm. is the word they use instead of, you know, sensei or what they would have in Japan. The tagline on the poster that was, I believe, released internationally has this marked as Super Giant Teacher versus Space Monster as the main crux of the film. And there's some pretty cool poster art. And I think, did SRS do a release of this film? I forget.
I'd be shocked if they didn't.
I think they did. And I think they did have original art for it, which, again, a lot of the box art and things makes it look a lot more epic. That final battle, which hilariously is in broad daylight, also very similar to Kaiju Mono, which I think is maybe another reason I kind of got them confused.
I think the general, maybe not the tone, but the vibe is very similar to Kaiju Mono. There is this quirky indie slice of life vibe that both the films have. This one more than Kaiju Mono. I think for me, like, I think conceptually this film is really, really fun. I think execution wise is where it suffers a little bit. But let's talk about the movie itself.
So, I mean, it's pretty short. It's like 70 minutes, right?
17 minutes, some of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's fairly short. And I will say, I mean, in a lot of these movies, you know, they're stretching that time. They're stretching that their film stock as far as they'll go. And this movie is no different. And it does definitely only have the single, I mean, there are multiple special effects shots in the film, but the final 10 minutes is where we have the giant teacher attacking and the space alien on a very well realized miniature set. I will say
the miniature set is probably cool. And honestly, the alien costume is or prop is very good.
Yeah. It reminds me,
budget, I mean, like, it's really impressive.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of the kind of tokusatsu television shows that this is.
Well, I was going to say, I would call this movie kaiju adjacent. This is absolutely much more of a tokusatsu film than it is a kaiju film.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you can definitely put it in that milieu. I would say that the last 10 minutes are worth watching if you are a kaiju
fan. I'm not saying it's not worth watching. I'm just saying it's much more of a tokusatsu. Like, it has, I think this movie has more to do with like an Ultraman story than it does a kaiju story.
It just seems weird to put in Kaiju Manu and not this film in the list, you know?
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm fine watching kaiju adjacent films. I mean, I'm the flag waiver for Tremors. So, I mean, you know, I'm fine with that. I just wanted to, like, for anyone who hasn't seen this movie, to go in with the proper expectations. This is certainly a kaiju adjacent movie. There is an argument for it. I would definitely be more on the side that this is more of a tokusatsu film. Mm-hmm. But there's so much about this movie that is very, very charming. And part of that is, I think, our lead actor.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the actors do a great job. And that's one of the things that drives the first, I mean, drives the entire movie, but the first hour is really no kaiju action. It's all character development of this night school teacher. The night school is getting closed down, and he rallies his very eclectic range of kind of personalities in his class to put together a school musical. Is that what they did? Is there music?
Yeah, they're doing a musical for the yearly festival.
Yes, and
which is it's a little difficult to kind of, like, not difficult to explain, but like a lot of American schools don't necessarily have like a festival season like they do in Japan. Mm-hmm. But everyone has had some sort of homecoming or fall festival or something like that, where the students basically kind of like either put on productions or, you know, make merchandise, but like make snacks or something for booths or design games and stuff. It's not dissimilar to what we have in America. They call it something different, and it is a regular thing seemingly across the board, because almost every slice of life anime that's set in high school that I've ever watched has festival moments, and it's not always specifically something that every American school does.
It does seem odd because they're mostly adults, right?
Yeah, well, like it's a college class, but the school is still like a college.
Right. But it just seems like most of them are like working adults in this program, which, what is he a teacher of? Do you get that?
This was the question that I was wondering the entire film. I don't know. I think he was an English teacher. There's one scene where he is teaching them something in English. And so I am assuming that strictly an English class.
I mean,
there's only one scene we'd see him teaching anything. And that's that scene.
He's a fine character. I don't feel like we get enough with him. It's all in the school. Don't. The entire movie takes place in the school, minus some scenes at like a bar.
Yes, it's called having no money and having one location to use.
Yeah, and they use it pretty darn well. But it's like, yeah, just in a fully fleshed out script, I feel like we would see like maybe a little bit of his home life if you know you're focusing on him as a main character. But it's really about him and him building a relationship with his students, maybe outside of what he would normally do. I guess that the administration has challenged him to go above and beyond, and he gets embroiled in all of their lives, including the aliens amongst them.
Yeah. So the general gist of the plot is that our main character, or not, I guess not our main character, but our lead protagonist, who is Kenzo Miyazawa, who is a teacher who teaches at a night school, typically to adults. And the movie kind of tells you like he's basically been kind of sleeping through life and barely even kind of, you know, applies himself in this position. Well, he finds out that the school is going to be closing, and he has the possibility of working at another school if he shows that he has any initiative at all whatsoever. And so we start kind of going down this rabbit hole of who all the students are, how he inserts them into it, or inserts himself into their lives, and what he ends up doing about the situation that he's in, and how it pertains to an alien who wants to consume everything on Earth. There is a lot to really love. Like, there's a lot of charm in this movie. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head where, like, we talk about we don't get enough. And this is a rare case. Often when I get these movies that are, like, you know, 70 minutes long, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a slam dunk, easy movie. And half the time, those movies are the ones that feel like 3 hours. This is a movie that I would make the case that needs a good 90 or even like 110 minutes. Because I think if they had focused, the problem with this movie, and this will really come into my personal thing down the line, is it is not, the characters aren't developed enough and the movie's not quirky enough to be a weird, quirky slice of life indie comedy. And there's not enough of the, like, going into what's going on with the kind of tokusatsu component of this for it to really please tokusatsu fans. Like, it is really like you get the stinger at the beginning, you have a couple of lines throughout the movie, and then you have the last 10 minutes. So it's one of those situations where it's kind of stuck in the middle, and it sort of doesn't really commit to the bit. And I think that's where this movie really kind of falls apart. Because it's not a bad movie, and it's not a waste of time. But it's one of those things where, like, oh, man, this movie could have easily been, like, my movie of the year. Like, had they had a script that really got to these characters and then fleshed out some of the tokusatsu stuff, but, like, really, like, made this a feel-good, amazing, like, if this was, like, a 12-episode anime, this would be crackerjack. And I think that's the biggest problem with this movie.
I think, yeah, you're right. And the director, Yoshikazu Ishii, I mean, his reason for making this movie was the 2019 Godzilla King of the Monsters release, the 2014 American Godzilla film. It says on his website, you know, talking about these huge budget CGI special effects, quote, under these circumstances, Japanese special effects movies are actually facing a crisis. With production costs rising, producers believe that manga-based or TV spinoff works have lower production budgets than expensive movies, and they can appeal more directly to young people and are sure to be big hits. And if things continue as they are, the traditional special effects techniques that utilize precise miniature work and have been passed down since the days of director Eiji Tsuburaya may be lost forever. And so he talks about, in quote, he talks about doing a film with those kind of tokusatsu styles. And it's like, well, if that is your goal, you need to put more of it in the movie. And I feel like,
yes,
the end of Act One, maybe he gains his the ability to, you know, turn into a giant and like refuses to use the power. Like he has like
which would go well with the story of his own kind of malaise with his mm-hmm. life.
Yeah, there are parts of this movie that really made me think about Big Man Japan and how this could have been a similar kind of funny riff on that. Even the monster kind of reminds me of, you know, the alien kind of Big Man Japan monster. But yeah, I feel like just end loading the film with a very great technical tokusatsu experience, a kaiju battle in an amazing miniature city is just not enough.
I fully agree with you.
And that being said, I still really enjoy the movie for what it was, which is
it's
funny
really
enough.
Charming. I mean, I will give Ishii this. He made a very, very charming movie. He had a fantastic, like the cast just knocks out of the park. But this movie's very well directed. Like, I will give mm-hmm. Ishii all of the flowers for this one, because I think this movie looks great. And he talks about in the speech that you were reading from, you know, how they had contacted some of the best creators with experience in working in films like Godzilla and Gamera and Ultraman and tried to do this on a micro budget. And you can see the love. Like, this is absolutely a labor of love. I really wish, and maybe they just were, you know, pressed for time. I wish they had sat down, fleshed out some of these characters a little more, and added just a little bit more kind of, not gravitas, but just dimension to the tokusatsu element. Like you said, I think, you know, maybe giving him that element at the beginning of the movie, but he doesn't do anything with it. And mm-hmm. it reminds me of that, one of my favorite animes in recent history, Life, in that respect, in terms of like what it's going for. And I think that one of the best parts is this eclectic cast of characters. Look, like you have the one character who is constantly part of a multi-level marketing plan and is like it's like that one, like, I don't know how many people you knew back in the day who were like got into selling knives, or what was the one beauty product that ever was it Avena?
Yeah.
Something like that. But like she has like
Avon,
yes.
Yeah, that was a big one in the 90s.
It just reminds me so much of like sitting in on these little house parties that my mom's friends would sometimes have about these things, because someone like, you know, just got involved in one of these schemes. And she, her delivery, which is that I believe that's Yuki Takase, as I previously mentioned, her delivery is excellent. She is so good, even though her character has nothing else to do. And you really get a sense that there's more to her. Again, another character that he's fleshing out. You have the kid who is obsessed with destruction for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a kind of more major to the.
I thought he was going to side with the alien. Exactly. I thought the exact same thing. You have this couple who are aliens on the run from our villain, who help inspire the musical itself.
They're dressed like Hawaiians, like they have leis and in Hawaiian. Or island attire, and then
they claim they're from a very different
set. Well, they say Mongolia because guy
they say Mongolia.
says another planet at one point when he's describing where they came from. Just very silly, kind of goofy dialogue like that. It's kind of fun, but yeah, the crux of this movie and the majority of this movie, besides setting up this musical, is the teacher actually going above and beyond and helping the students and all these personal problems that they have, you know, a bar tab that a waitress was stuck with, and that was very silly. But
I guess I'll have to start doing porn.
Yeah, porn or OnlyFans or whatever. But
it was porn or sex service is what she said.
Yeah. The two students from another planet that were being hunted by this alien menace, which really the monster in this makes me feel like it is an episode of, if not Ultraman,
certainly Super Sentai,
something like that. Yes. And I mean, it's purposely made like, I actually kind of reminded me, like, it could have been a Gamera villain, you know, it's just like really out there, kind of like Virus or
he does. Gamera does tangle with tentacled freaks very often.
But yeah, also Big Man Japan reminded me a good deal about that. Yoshikazu Ishii is a special effects director for the film, as well as the director. So he did it all in this film. And I think that part, you know, especially is kind of the highlight of this kaiju movie. And, you know, this film shares some DNA with our other low budget, kind of more comedic kaiju films from Shinpei Hayashiya, Minoru Kawasaki.
Our boy.
But yeah, I feel like it's still its own little thing, its own little sub genre. And
it is. They basically took a bunch of side quest characters from the Like a Dragon / Yakuza series, put them in a single yeah. movie, and put a tokusatsu monster in the midst of everything. And I wish they leaned into that. Like, there's because I know you're going to ask me what my favorite part of the movie is, and it's not the fight at the end between the monster and the teacher. It's the most Yakuza part is when one of, like we mentioned, one of the students has this insane bar tab that they are being hounded by their employer. And the fellow teacher apparently was involved in some sexual harassment scheme and says, oh, I've got this unbeatable lawyer. And so he hires the unbeatable lawyer to go to her boss and try to get her out of debt, basically. And what ensues is like the funniest sequence in the entire movie.
Yeah, it does feel like a mini game in a Yakuza.
No, this is absolutely ripped from the Like a Dragon series, but I was laughing so hard, and I was like, this is what I want more of. I want these kind of sweet, funny, bizarre little side stories all coming together. Like, you know, he the whole thing is to show him that he's inserting himself into these students' lives, and which is great. It's just everything about this movie just needs more from it. Because I think you have a movie that is competently made. I think it has heart in what they are trying to do. It's got spirit, but the execution is not fully there. I don't know if it was they were pressed for time or they had to keep it at X amount of time in terms of their script, but that one sequence said to me, I'm like, oh man, there's so much more here to dig into, because that sequence is so funny. It endears all these characters to you. And I mean, it also gives you a good laugh as well, because watching this unbeatable lawyer just get completely like body slammed is so good. Did you have a favorite part?
Yeah. Favorite part of the film. I mean, that part is really good. I mean, I do like the end a great deal, but yeah, just him kind of stepping into that heroic role. I think you mentioned this show feeling like a season of a television show, and
oh yeah, this is easily a 12 episode anime.
I feel at the very least it's like, yeah, it's a short season that of content for him being a teacher, but it's like only one episode of him being a kaiju fighter, you know, where yeah, it feels yeah. like he should have been fighting kaiju like while the entire time he was being a teacher.
I don't mind it building up to a one singular fight. I don't mind that, but I also agree with you when you said like, oh yeah, he should have had like this ability to grow early on the movie, and the whole idea of him like accepting the fact that there's something special about him, or he's been given something special that he needs to utilize, could have helped evolve that whole idea of him, you know, being very uninspired and lethargic and turning into someone who really actively cares about his students and about where he's going in life. I think that would have made a very, very compelling film.
Yeah. Yeah. As it stands, I still think it's pretty good. IMDb has this listed at 4.4 out of 10 stars, which
that's unfair.
A little low. But yeah, this movie, one thing we didn't mention in its production, was crowdfunded. This was on a similar site to Indiegogo kind of things.
And so that actually answers a lot of my questions about probably what they were able to do.
Yeah. And, you know, if you go, it's like 1 million yen or something, and it's like an equivalent of like $11,000. It's a very small amount that they raised on that site. They had partners and things like that, so it was probably a good deal more than that for the entire film. But this movie is not the last that's going to use that as an option. In fact, The director is going to go on in 2022 to have another film that we're going to watch, Yuzu, The Biggest Battle in Tokyo, which was a COVID era and COVID themed film. And right now, as we're recording this, he is, it's a site called Campfire, and they're raising funds. They finished raising first round funds in January of 2025 here for his next film, for Ishii's next film, The Giant Monster from Another World, which I'm excited. It's on our list once it finally comes out. It raised ¥1 million as well, and they've already got some Sudamation done. They've got some stills up. You can find them online if you type in Gladio, The Giant Monster from Another World. I'm excited. I like this director. I like this story. But how much did I like it? Oh, let's talk about our personal enjoyment. I'm at a 6 out of 10 for personal enjoyment for this film. It's very fun, very simple. I feel like these small budget kaiju movies, maybe this one's a little above the cut for a lot of them. But yeah, very solid hour of the movie is not kaiju action, but I was never really checking my watch during that time, which is always a good thing. What about you, Miles?
I am actually right there with you. Initially, when I first watched the movie, I just written down a 5. And the more I kind of sat with it, I really do think this is a charming little movie. It does. And knowing that it's much scrappier than I had even anticipated does endear it a little bit more to me. This is certainly a movie made with a lot of heart, even though they don't have much to work with. And this is also it's a very short movie. It's on a lot of the free websites and streaming services. You can watch some Tubi right now. And so it doesn't cost anything. So that also helps. The localization it's okay. I clocked some weird, I can't remember if I think it was this one that had some weird spelling errors and some syntactical weirdness. But yeah, I mean, I kind of gave my reasonings throughout this episode of where I was like, this movie has got a great concept and it's so close. Like it is so close. Like, this is this has come up maybe once or twice in the show, but like one of my, I love slice of life anime.
Yeah.
And like, that's my preferred genre, even though I watch a lot of science fiction and horror anime too, but like, I love slice of life anime. And this has all of like the beautiful trappings of a great slice of life anime. Like if this was a 12 episode series that was able to like kind of go into everyone's story and kind of flesh everything out, this would be an all timer for me because I love this concept. I love taking the bizarre and mixing it with the mundane. Like that reminds me of, I don't know if you ever watched Ra Ra Ra, but that's another one
Yeah.
It mixes this kind of like the weird fantastical urban fantasy anime with the very mundane. And I love it. And this gets so close. It really does. And at the end of the day though, it needs a lot of fleshing out. It needs a lot of TLC, but it is an admirable effort. And I think for that charm, for my personal enjoyment, I'm with you. I'm at a 6 out of 10.
What about the technical aspects of the film?
So for the technical, I'm also at a 6 here as well, because I mean, I think outside of the script, which like I said, I don't need to say much more. The script needs a lot of TLC, but the acting is very good. Ishii's eye is excellent. This is a very well-directed movie. The miniatures look great. The actual kaiju special effects are pretty damn good for a cheap movie like this. Like we've certainly watched cheaper from this time period that has looked much worse. But that said, it's runtime does not help it. Its script does not help it. And at the end, it kind of, all of that adds up to like a decent technical movie, but like it's still, it can't get outside of the just okay realm because of that for me. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm there with you as well. 6s for technical. Good direction, good actors, fairly simple characters. I don't think because they have so many, I don't think they can really in an hour film focus on, give a lot of spotlights to them. But yeah, I think the action did kind of need to ramp up maybe either the alien threat or the main giant teacher in the plot itself, because it does kind of feel like the movie that the poster is promising starts at the 60 minute mark. So, yeah, I feel like once that third act hits, though, and it is a build up to like, oh, they're worried that the aliens come into Earth and they've got the show, the musical to do. That third act is very good. But the first 50 minutes, bit of a long watch, not a bad watch, but a long watch. So 6 out of 10 and a 4. Its importance as a piece of kaiju work, I can't go that low on it. While it is kaiju like, it is of this micro budget, or not micro budget, but a low budget Japanese films that it feel like bump it up so much, because it is about the era of E.G. Tsuburaya, you know, kaiju special effects, tokusatsu. And yeah, the end kaiju action is good. We've got a large naked teacher man versus an odd alien monster. It is a fun, it is a weird fight. It is a well-shot fight and an action sequence that did remind me a lot of Big Man Japan. But yeah, is it a super kaiju-esque movie? No, our main character is not really monstrous in a lot of aspects. But it is funny that it was made to be like an answer, Japan's answer for the American kind of kaiju films, and they made a more American version, you know, like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman kind of film. So yeah, I'm giving it a 5 out of 10 for its importance as a kaiju movie, just as a kaiju movie. What about you, Miles?
You know what? We are oh, in boy. Complete alignment today, sir.
Right down the middle.
Also as a 5 out of 10, because yes, one, this isn't really a kaiju film. It's more of a tokusatsu film, and I think for if this had been a movie that like really hammered in either the kind of alien story or the slice of life stuff, I think there's a good argument to like put this in a higher spot as a true hidden gem. That said, this is certainly a movie that like if someone brings up, I'm like, oh yeah, that's it's a fun little movie.
And there's certainly no need to like free on Tubi, go watch it.
Well, there's that too, but there's certainly no need to like. I mean, like I said, you know, the 5 is the baseline. This is a perfectly fine, decent little movie. You know, it's not bad. Like that 5 is really it's not bad.
Yeah,
that's kind of the kind of, you know, stigma I give to that rating. And in terms of like, yeah, the evocative nature of a kaiju film, especially since it's not one really, it's tough to nail down. Because it's not, it doesn't develop the slice of life stuff as much as it needs to, or it doesn't develop the alien story as much as it needs to. One of those two things needed to happen to kind of lift this movie up, and neither does. That said, I am very excited to see what this creator does next. I think that they have a real love for genre cinema and for cinema itself. I can tell that in the way they direct, and I definitely see the passion there, so I absolutely am interested to see what happens next. But in terms of this one, yeah, I'm right there at a 5. It is not bad. If someone brings it up in a conversation, I will be happy to talk about it, but it's not going to be the first in my mind.
So that brings your final score and my final score to a 5.6, and if we had marked it down any more points, it would have dropped an entire point, but we are rounding up to a 6 out of 10 for the podcast final, and I'm okay with it. I'm all right with that, Miles.
Yeah, no, I'm perfectly happy with that. I think 6 is a great score for this movie. It does have that little movie that could vibe to it, so I'm happy to give it a little bit of a boost there. And I think that's one of the most fun parts about doing this show is finding these I don't want to say diamonds in the rough, because they're not all diamonds, but like just these. Well, it's movies that people otherwise wouldn't have watched.
Yeah.
And just finding every nook and cranny in the kaiju subgenre, no matter how tangential it is, I think is so much fun to me. And that's one of the things I love about doing this show. This is going to be a weird little aside, but for those who don't know, my fiance bartends, and every now and then she will text or call me because she has a guest that, you know, is into super nerdy stuff. And because I'm part of several nerdy podcasts, which Patrick is a part of too, she knows she can ask me questions. And so like the other day she texted me, "Hey, do you know anything about Ultraman?" And I was just like, "All right, sweetheart, how much time you got?" And yeah. I knew she had a guest. And so she calls me and I hear the guy. And then he starts asking about different things. So I was like, "Well, tell him to listen to our our Kaiju podcast, we did some Ultraman stuff, and the More You Nerd did an entire month on Ultraman. And then, and you'll love this, I hear him in the background, what about Johnny Sacco? which is something that I have never, ever encountered in my entire life. I have never met another human being who has even heard of Johnny Sacco. But that was his follow-up question about Ultraman, was,
that's so
what
funny.
About Johnny Sacco? And I go, well, you won't believe this. But there is a compilation film called Voyage in Space that Patrick and I did. So if you want to learn about Johnny Sacco, by God, you can. And
his big battling robot.
That was the end of the conversation, but I was just like so caught off guard by someone bringing up Johnny Sacco.
Oh boy, yeah, no, it was like
I meant to mention this off air, but I thought you'd get a little kick out of that.
I thought it was fun when I had a barista at a cafe notice my
young Gary.
He had a young Gary shirt on, but no, I had on, I think it was from the second film of a Shippei Hayashi is Reiga series.
Oh, that's
not God Reiga, but it was from the second one.
Reiga,
the
first, right?
No, no, that was the first one. I'm just trying to remember so it's Reiga, King of the Sea Monsters, and Reiga, God of the Monsters. That's the second one. But it was the shirt from, it was the Matt Jones shirt from SRS Cinema.
I'm assuming it had been from SRS. Because no one else is putting that out.
I did tell you this story, though, and it, like, he's like, oh, nice Reiga shirt. I was like, you know Reiga. Not like,
if he pulls out Godzilla, the Yamagari shirt, you're like, yes, sir, I too am a nerd.
but that's going to do it for this week's episode. I did want to give a shout out to folks that follow us on Blue Sky, including Jared, who mentioned, I think when this episode comes out, like 2 months ago, so sorry we're just getting to this on air now, but that Godzilla Battle Line, the handheld game, confirmed another collab with Gamera, bringing Gamera to Attack of Legion to the game, which is a lot of fun. Oh,
I need to get back into that game. So I played that game at launch and spent quite a bit of time with it. And then when I temporarily switched jobs to IT support, my free time to have, because here's the thing about this game is there's no idleness. Like it's a real time action game or a real time battle game.
I've played a little bit.
I was in a whole thing, and I was actually pretty highly ranked for a little bit because, I mean, I was there at launch, but it's a really, really fun game. I actually kind of want to get back into it because I know they brought in like Ultraman for a little bit.
Yeah, lots of crossovers there. And it's crazy that there's an official, you know, Godzilla product that has a Gamera crossover. And Jared is hoping that they could do more official movie or TV show kind of collabs between the two big kaiju. And at this point, I feel like Toho should just buy Gamera, you know? Like, I don't think the rights can be
that much. I don't know if they should buy Gamera, but they should absolutely do whatever they need to do to make it happen. Because, look, even if it's not related to the follow-up to Godzilla Minus One, like, that, and that's fine. Like, people want to see Godzilla and Gamera throw down, even though they should be on the same side. But, and I don't think Takashi Yamazaki is going to make that film, but I do agree that like they should throw as much money as they can at a Godzilla versus Gamera film, just one, to shut everyone up and finally do it.
They should do a series where they fight first and then they become allies, you know?
Oh, yeah, you got to do the classic American crossover for sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you've got to have, and both characters need to get their licks in. I actually wish this really happened in the Heisei era because, I mean, I would love to see, like, the 89 model Godzilla with the, you know, Guardian of the Universe model Gamera.
Oh,
like, throw down.
So good.
And yeah, just I also, with the way those movies were shot, specifically just how those movies looked, I love that era of kaiju cinema so much, and tokusatsu as well. I would love to see that happen. But yeah, maybe for like a Christmas special or whatever, we should come up with like our pitches for like make a crossover, because it's something that Drew and I do on the Morgan Nerd sometimes. And I I often find that the most like fun I ever have. Like some of the most fun I've had was like coming up with my own Star Trek show or my pitch for the Daredevil Nightwing crossover that will never happen.
I definitely nerd fan cast, you know, projects or fan write projects in my head, my walk to work. Right. So that will officially do it for us here at Touchy Versus History. People can, like I said, find us on Blue Sky, really our only social media at the moment, at Kaiju Versus History. It's a great way to quickly reach out to us. But you can also email us at KaijuVersusHistory@gmail.com. We've gotten some emails recently. We'll talk about on the show in the future. You can rate, review our podcast, share it with friends. Wherever you find podcasts, I think you can search up Kaiju Versus History, find us there. We have a Letterboxd account as well. If you follow films and you would like to see our reviews in 5-star format, we do 10 stars here on the podcast, but it's very simple math because I do half stars on the website. So this 6 would be a 3 out of 5 stars there. Yeah, that's going to do it. Miles, what is happening next week?
So next week, well, first, thank you, Patrick. Thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you next time when we take a look at a short film that plays in a medium that we have not seen in the kaiju genre before, with a look at puppetry to move the art form forward. Will we get lost in the mist or find ourselves in the creature's foghorn-like roar? That's right. Tune in next time for History Versus Howl from Beyond the Fog.